So tell us a little about class number four.
Class number four is called The Gift of High Self-Esteem. And it's, I always tell parents, I see that class as both the most exciting class and also one of the scariest classes, because children don't come into the world with any level of self-esteem. And if they don't come in with it, then it has to come from their environment. And their early environment is their parents, is their family, and they build their sense of self-esteem out of the messages they get from that environment. They know if they're welcome and wanted, or if they feel that they're a bother. And however we interact with children from the day one, from when they're born, by how we meet their needs, by how we hold them, by how we talk to them, they begin to build a picture of who they are. And one of the writings that was most influential to me in putting together that session was in John Holt's book, Instead of Education. He compares human beings to bonsai trees. And he says, the same seedling that you bonsai by clipping the roots and wiring the branches and depriving it of the things that it needs becomes a twisted, dwarfed miniature of what was in that seedling. And that if that seedling were undamaged and given all the things it needs, the potential within that seedling would be that it would grow to be tall and straight. And he says the same things can happen to human beings, that when we are damaged and not given the things that we need, we end up being dwarfed miniatures of the potential that we were born with. So it really lets us know how much opportunity we have to provide children with the things that they need, especially their bond with another human being, to realize as much of their human potential as possible. So we look at how do we do that? How do we give children those messages that will allow them to have that? And we make a distinction between self-esteem and self-worth. Self-esteem is really much more about how we think others view us. Are we capable? Are we competent? Do we have something valuable to contribute? And where children get a sense of that is from being able to do things, from becoming competent. You know, there was a time in our culture when children, having many children, it was considered an asset to a family if they had many children, because then there would be enough people so that the work that needed to get done so the family could survive would be there for the family. That's no longer true in our culture. Children are not considered assets. They are considered liabilities because they affect the parents' ability to be in the workforce. And parents don't need their children's contribution anymore. Most parents could get along just fine without their children's contribution. So what once naturally existed because children helped in the garden and helped in the barn and brought in the wood now has to be intentionally provided for children. We have to find ways to make their contributions valuable. And what happens for children is similar to a catch-22 that adults have, in that we can't get a job if we don't have any experience, but we can't get any experience if no one will give us a job. And children don't know how to do things because we don't let them, and we don't let them because they don't know how to do things. So we have to have a willingness to give up perfect and allow children to help us. Now, the jobs that most of us have now, children can't come along and help us. But most of the things that we do around the home, children can be some part of. And from very early on, children want to do things for themselves and for others. A very young baby that's being fed with a spoon will say, me do it. You know, they'll reach for the spoon. They want to do it themselves. So we just find ways to let children help us with everything we do, because the two things that children want most, they want to be with us and they want to do what we do. So the way that we build high self-esteem in children is to give them as many opportunities to become capable and competent as we can. And one of the things that parents realize, that children don't have the jobs and the responsibilities that they used to, so they try to replace that with chores. And most people have a pretty negative association with the chores they had to do when they grew up. And the reason that children have a negative association with chores is it's usually something they're expected to go off and do by themselves. And because they want to be with us and do what we do, we need to include children in our work instead of sending them off to do work by themselves. The most magic word I know of with children is let's. You know, let's bring in the wood, or let's brush our teeth, or let's do the dishes. As long as they can do it with us, then they're usually happy to do it. And doing that with us does increase our connection. So then self-worth is really more about how we view ourselves, what we believe we deserve. It's not as much about how other people see us. And where our sense of self-worth comes from is how we're treated, how much time people spend with us. Children watch us all the time, and they see what we do, and they see what we love. If we play golf, or we knit, or we watch television, they see that that's what we love, because that's where we spend our time. So if we don't spend our time with them, then what they conclude is that they're not a high priority. So they need that time with us. And now that so many parents are working so much, the term quality time has really become a part of our culture. But it's used in a way that somehow quality time can make up for the lack of quantity of time that we spend with children. And it can't. Children need that connection with us every single day. They need it as much as they need food. So we can't say to a child, well, we don't have time to eat today, but we'll eat all day on Saturday. It just doesn't work that way. They need that connection every day. So we talk about setting up special time to be one-on-one with a child every single day and keep that connection going. And then having other special dates so that we keep the connection. Because if you're the first child, once the other children are born, you never have that one-on-one time with your parents again. And if you were not the first child, you never have it unless parents set up their life intentionally to include that kind of time. So one of the really important aspects of connection parenting is that it's proactive rather than reactive. What we focus on, rather than how to discipline children when their sense of disconnection results in uncooperative and unacceptable behavior, is how do we maintain the connection and keep it strong enough so they don't have to resort to those behaviors to get their needs met.
The preemptive strike. Yes. Yeah, right, right.